It's 8:50 and time now for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. The trade guesses for Friday's USDA acreage report are in, and they look like this. In millions of acres, the average guess for corn, 79.797, soybeans, 75.132, spring wheat, 14.563. We'll discuss the numbers in just a few minutes with Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. The Midwest Direct Hog Markets today called from 50 cents to $1.50 per hundredweight lower, resulting from the plants having ample supplies due to reduced slaughter schedules this week as well as next week. Terminals called mostly $1 lower, tops from 50.50 to 52.50. Peoria called 50 cents to $1 lower today with a top price of 50.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, June 27th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 13,867. For the base market hog on 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was 67.50 to 76.50. The weighted average, 75.29, a loss of $1.17 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from 51.50 to 60.50. The weighted average, 57.60. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 12,346. The base price range was $66.23 to $77. The weighted average, $74.19, a loss of $2.25 from Monday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $53.54 to $58.74, and the weighted average was $56.08.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good Wednesday morning to you, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. And as we look at the Midwest Corn Belt, it looks like most areas are still doing decently for crop production, weather-wise at least, and we'll be talking about that in a moment. I want to just shed some light on a few other areas before I devote most of my time to the main Corn Belt. One is the Delta. The other is the spring wheat belt of the Northern Plains. In the Delta, it looks like generally dry weather is going to continue here over the next week or so. And along with that, there's going to be some warm air moving in. So that's an area of concern as far as soybean production. It looks like moisture stress will be growing a bit in the Delta region. In the southeast, they've had a little more rain of late, so the Delta is more of concern than the southeast. Now, as far as the spring wheat belt goes, there are some concerns. It's turned a bit drier in western areas, and especially the western half to two-thirds of South Dakota and the southeastern portions of Montana. And it looks like some warmer air will be moving into the spring wheat belt as well. So we'll have to be monitoring that area, as it looks like there could be some heat stress and dryness occurring, especially for South Dakota, where there's already about half of the crop in poor, very poor conditions. The crop conditions are better as you go farther north into the Canadian Prairie and farther northeast into Minnesota and parts of North Dakota. But those are two areas of great concern. So now let's focus on the Midwest Corn Belt. And of course, the problem with talking about the Midwest Corn Belt, as I outlined last week, is there's a variability in rainfall each day. And I know some are frustrated that they can't get a straight answer on exactly how much rain is going to fall and when on any particular place. And that's because we have an unstable atmosphere where showers and thunderstorms pop up and die down on short notice. We've seen that this morning across central Illinois. We had one storm form in southern McLean County move southeastward, paralleling I-74, mainly just south of I-74. Warning for a severe thunderstorm was issued for a time for northeast DeWitt County and northern Piatt County, and then it weakened as it got into Champaign County and fizzled out and disappeared. Right now, our radar is looking pretty quiet, although a new cell has just formed in Livingston County between Sonneman and Cullum, And that storm is moving east and looks like it'll be moving generally along highway. Well, let's see. That's, I think, 116 up there. I'll have to look that one up. Or no, Highway 17. It's north of Highway 24 a little bit. It looks like if it holds together, we'll head to Ashcombe in Iroquois County. Bottom line is, showers and thunderstorms will be scattered about. There will be timely rains for most areas over the next week, but some pockets will stay dry. It's just going to be random. Yesterday, showers and thunderstorms occurred over a large part of southeastern Nebraska, northeastern Kansas, southwestern Iowa and northwestern Missouri, some more showers in southern Missouri, some in western and northern Illinois, some from central into northeastern Indiana, northwest Ohio, and southeast lower Michigan. But areas in between were left dry. Parts of central Illinois and south central Iowa remain dry, but most of the Midwest Corn Belt favored with decent soil moisture at this time. There are some pockets in Indiana that were too wet to start and got flooded out late last week. So some crop conditions are probably on the poor side in parts of Indiana, not because of dryness, but because of too much moisture. So it's a mixed bag, but the big picture looks decent at this time. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Joining us now to take a look at the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
Take a look at the overnights. Kind of a mixed bag there, it looks like to me.
Yeah, it really was. A real quiet session. Market seems to be in sort of a laid-back mode here, I think, just waiting for the numbers Friday. Those are so potentially influential that I think a lot of people are reluctant to you know, put in too big of a position at this point.
Let's go ahead and look at those numbers because the trade did release their estimates yesterday. Does anything jump off the page at you?
Yeah, the thing that jumps off just from a contrarian standpoint, I mean, this number is really up for grabs. You know, the March 31st number was very preliminary, and year after year after year it's proven to be that. But I'm a little surprised how one-sided all the guesses are. I mean, the lowest guess I saw in corn is still looking for a million-acre increase. I don't know if that's a fair assumption or not. I mean, the trade has certainly talked themselves into thinking we've got a 1.5 or 2 million-acre shift from beans back to corn. I don't know if I'd take that for granted or not. You know, I think the market's kind of gearing itself up to me to seem to possibly have a bullish surprise in corn. It'd probably be pretty hard to have a bearish surprise in corn.
Well, certainly the trade convinced itself that the March 31st planning intentions report was wrong, and they haven't really changed their mind since then.
Well, that's right. Yeah, a lot of people think either that was wrong or that that brief period of, you know, before planting that the relatively higher corn prices versus bean prices was enough to, you know, buy some corn acreage switch. So between those two arguments, I mean, they certainly hold water, makes sense, but, you know, whether that was the case or not, who knows? I mean, this is truly a report that I think is completely up for grabs.
Let's look at some particulars. Begin with the wheat today. Yesterday we saw a pretty good rally, and that turned, in my mind, set the short-term trend upward. Are we going to look at a test of the recent highs?
In the wheat?
In the wheat.
Boy, that might be asking a lot, at least as far as Chicago wheat goes, because, boy, they've really whacked that thing pretty hard lately. But, when you see Minneapolis making contract highs like it did, we've certainly got a problem out there in wheat country. And it's kind of funny the way the Chicago wheat contract just kind of goes along for the ride and is, I think, kind of looked at as a proxy for wheat in general, even though it really is a soft red winter wheat contract. But I certainly think there could be some strength to come in that. I mean, yesterday was a real impressive action, but, heck, we're still, over 50 cents off the high in the Chicago wheat. I'd be very surprised to see that high come out.
your call today across the commodity pits?
Well, it's looking just kind of steady firm. I'd say steady to a penny better across the board in corn, beans, and wheat. Some people are talking about a little dryness appearing way down the road, like 10 days out. But that's mid-July. I mean, it usually does get pretty hot and not a lot of rain at that point. So I have a hard time thinking people are going to get real excited about that. But steady to one higher is the call. I wouldn't be surprised to see things a little bit better than that, though.
Thanks very much, Clayton.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. If you want to look at the acreage and June quarterly grain stock guesses, we have those now up on our website at wiloag.org. And you can also sign up for our agricultural e-letter. Of course, we'll be giving you those numbers just as soon as they come out with our Friday flash letter. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. The time now is 9:01.